Give credit where credit is due. That's an adage, a principle even, that we hear often, and yet we seldom see it demonstrated in our society today. Instead of giving credit where credit is due, our political leaders race to claim credit for anything good that occurs on their watch, even if the forward strides toward a goal preceded their tenure. Meanwhile, they all deflect fault for their missteps, and they cast blame in much the same way that Oprah gives away cars. You get some blame. You get some blame. Everybody gets some blame. Y'all never watched Oprah do that? I thought that'd be funnier. But regardless, it's what they do. Everyone else is at fault. Now, some would say that our culture is a reflection of our leadership, while others would say that our leadership is a reflection of the state of our culture. Now, there's truth in both positions. I don't know which came first, but regardless of which came first, we see the results all around us in systemic fashion. Because in the not too distant past, it was commonplace in our society to celebrate and venerate the achievements and accomplishments of those around us who excelled or did well. Inventors were praised for their ingenuity. Elite athletes were celebrated for their dedication and devotion to excellence in their sport. Successful businessmen and women were lauded for their tenacity, their instincts, and even for their bravery in assuming risks and overcoming the failures that ultimately led to their successes. But fast forward to the current day, and we've developed an economy of professional victimization. No one is successful based on their own merits. Any success comes at the expense of someone else being downtrodden or oppressed. And that's true even when it comes to chicken sandwiches. I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds, there are still those that assert that Chick-fil-A's success as a company has nothing to do with its good food, its sound business planning, or its excellent customer service. Never mind that there can be 200 cars in the drive-thru there and I'll still get my food faster than at McDonald's. It has nothing to do with their good customer service. Rather, they continue to insist that Chick-fil-A has only found success by means of stepping on people through its alleged hatred and oppression of homosexuals because their CEO dares to have an opinion based on biblical principles. And then they have the audacity to reverence the Lord's Day by remaining closed on Sundays. Those devilish fiends. We live in a society that just cannot and will not give credit where credit is due. They'd rather celebrate victimhood, even if they have to make it up. Now, I'm not casting aspersions on legitimate efforts to bring injustice to light. There are those who use position and influence to unfairly enrich or glorify themselves at the expense or even the waste of others. And these kinds of abuses must be brought to light. They must be eradicated. But still, somehow, we have to find a way to return to a place where we can give credit where credit is due. Because without that, there is no impetus for anyone to strive to excel, to achieve, or to improve, because any such achievement will be met with disdain and criticism instead of credit. And meanwhile, mediocrity and underachievement are celebrated as courageous survival in the midst of oppression. In other words, those who don't achieve can blame their failures on those who do achieve. It's a polar reversal of the way things ought to be. And it has spiritual ramifications on us in the church as well. A few weeks ago, we read in Acts chapter 3 the account of Peter and John encountering a lame man at the gate of the temple. And Peter and John were going about their business as usual when they were faced with this opportunity for ministry. They didn't have money to offer the lame man, but they offered what they had. They offered Jesus. And miraculously, the man was healed. In a moment's time, this man who had never stood on his feet in his life not only stood up, but also walked around and leapt for joy. His healing caused quite the stir. And today we're going to pick up where we left off. And from our reading, we're going to see that Peter, speaking under the unction and leadership of the Holy Spirit, responded by giving credit where credit is due. As a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we too are to be operating under the unction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So if we desire to see God move through and among us as He did in the early church, then we too must be prepared to give credit where credit is due. So let's read together Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. If you want to turn with me there. But as you're turning, if you're able, would you stand together in reverence for the reading of the Word of God, knowing that all Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for instruction, to make us all thoroughly furnished unto every good work. This is Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 26. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Almighty and Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us today. And Lord, we know that every word of Scripture is inspired. Every word is profitable for teaching, for instruction. Lord, teach us today. Open our eyes, open our minds, that we may receive your truth. And Lord, get my flesh out of the way and speak through me, Lord, just as an instrument, as a vessel, that your word may be proclaimed, and that our lives may be transformed. For your name's sake, Lord, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One thing we see, giving credit where credit is due, it may be an adage, but truly, it's a spiritual matter. Because in the end, all credit, all glory, all honor belongs to God. As the people of God, we must give credit where credit is due. Jesus modeled this for us as he gave credit to the Father. In Matthew 6, when teaching us a model for prayer, Jesus gives credit where credit is due, saying to the Father, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And then in John 11, as Jesus stood near the tomb of Lazarus, knowing that he was about to call Lazarus forth from the dead, in order that the people around may give credit where credit is actually due, Jesus prays and says, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." See, Jesus gave credit where credit's due. And the Father, likewise, has done the same. In Matthew 3, as Jesus is baptized in obedience to the Father's will, the Father gives credit where credit is due, saying from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then again in Matthew 17, as Jesus nears the end of his earthly ministry, he's transfigured on the mountain in the presence of Peter, James, and John. And the Father again says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Keep that in mind. Hear ye him. Finally, after Jesus had completed his mission in perfect obedience, even to the point of dying on the cross, Paul tells us that the Father has once and for all time given credit where credit is due. In Philippians 2 verse 9, Paul tells us, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." See, giving credit where credit is due is indeed a spiritual matter. It's been modeled for us by God himself. And Peter also recognizes that. So after having facilitated the healing of this lame man, we see in verse 11 that the crowd gathers around Peter and John, full of wonder. And Peter, who up until the crucifixion had been arguably the most arrogant and prideful of the apostles, instead of answering in pride, he sees the crowd and asks in verse 12, "Why are you so amazed? And why are you looking at us as though we, by our own power or holiness, caused this man to be healed?" Friends, how refreshing would it be to see God's people, as a whole, reclaim this type of humility? See, there are many times when God moves in powerful ways among a church or a community, and we have the privilege to hear or see of many being touched by the hand of God in powerful ways. And like the crowd, we and the world around us clamor around in awe and wonder. But all too often, churches and servants of the Lord Jesus Christ fail to give credit where credit is due. Instead, we hear things such as, "Through our children's ministry program, we are impacting children and families in our community. Through missions, we are able to accomplish so much for the kingdom." Or, "We're committed to evangelism, as it's upon us to bring people to Jesus." Now, these types of statements may be prompted by innocent motives, But do you hear the emphasis on what we do? What we have done? Or what we must do? And while saying such, churches and leaders may be inwardly aware that the credit goes to Jesus. I'm not knocking that, but we have to be careful about our words. Because we may be inwardly aware that the credit goes to Jesus, but to a world that doesn't know Jesus, our choice of words matters. And we need to take care that we give credit where credit is due. The truth is that while the Lord in His grace may choose to use us as instruments or tools in working out His plan, all the credit goes to Jesus. When souls are saved, when lives are transformed, when marriages are renewed, when chains of addiction are broken, when healings occur, when the hungry are fed, whatever comes to pass, we need to be humble enough to give credit where credit is due. Like Peter, we need to say to an onlooking world, why are you looking at us as though we, by our own power or holiness, caused this? Because the credit belongs to Jesus. Last week, I mentioned that at the Do-Re-Mi Gospel Music Academy, where we attended earlier this month, we were privileged to be present when the Lord saved at least 5 young souls. It was nothing we did. It was all the Lord. And I got to hear one of the sweetest testimonies I've ever heard. There was a sweet little girl. She was 8 years old, and she's one of the sweetest things you'd ever see. Now, my kids are the cutest kids, but she was a close second. I mean, she was a darling little thing, still even carrying around a little stuffed bunny as her constant companion. But one night, as the Spirit of God descended on us during our evening singing and devotion, she just quietly rose from her chair and bowed on the floor to pray. See, there was no altar call to which she responded. She simply heard the voice of the Lord calling her, and she came under conviction. And she didn't make a show of it. She simply prayed until she reached heaven's throne. And when she was through, she simply sat back in her seat with the biggest smile on her face. And others began talking with her, but when she got free, I just wanted to check on her. I asked her if everything was all right. And she looked at me with this innocent little joy and said, I heard him say yes. I asked what she meant, and she said she heard Jesus say yes, that he would save her. See, Jesus spoke peace to her young and trusting soul. She didn't tell me what she had done. She didn't tell me that she had prayed or that she had made a decision to follow Jesus, though both were necessary. She had to decide to seek the Lord. She had to pray. But she didn't tell me what she had done. She didn't tell me what others had done. She didn't tell me that someone else had led her to the Lord. She simply told me what Jesus had done. Because that's all that matters. She told me what only Jesus can do. She gave all the glory to Jesus. See, she gave credit where credit is due. And Peter did the same. He gave credit where credit was due. Why are you looking at us as though we had anything to do with this? He asked. And then in verse 16 he says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Folks, I desire to see wonderful and glorious things happen here. Do you? I long to see souls saved and lives transformed by the gospel. And I desire to see our congregation reinvigorated with new life and with a holy fire to labor for the Lord in every way that He leads us. And I believe that if we're faithful to follow the Lord, then these things will come to pass. I believe we can and will see a great revival here. But when we do, we must be sure to give credit where credit is due. We must give the honor and the glory to Jesus. Because only Jesus saves. Only Jesus delivers. Only Jesus has the power to mend what is broken. Sometimes He may work through us. Other times, he may work despite us. But in all things, whenever something praiseworthy happens, it's not our doing. It's Jesus' name. Through faith in his name that brings souls to salvation, that transforms lives, that takes the brokenness of the world and makes it whole. It's Jesus. It's only ever Jesus. But giving credit where credit is due is a door that swings both ways. See, there's a time to give credit for that which is praiseworthy, and also a time to give credit for that which is a failure. And Peter does both in this passage. And in the world we live in today, we as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to be ready to do the same. See, look at verse 13. After asking, "Why are you looking at us as though we had anything to do with this?" Peter says, "God, the Father God of the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus." But then he says, "Whom you delivered to Pilate, whom you denied before Pilate." He says, "You denied the Holy One and the just, and you chose a murderer to be among you. You killed the Prince of Life." Though Peter was talking specifically to the men of Israel, the truth is, he was giving credit where credit is due. And that's a legacy that we all carry. It's the credit due to all sinners. See, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've chosen to go our own way. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then he said, "I have come that they may have life, and that more abundantly." And yet in our sinful straying, we have all denied the Prince of Life who came to give us life. We've all chosen to follow the thief instead, the enemy of our souls who will feed us the lusts of our flesh. But to our demise, we've desired a murderer, not realizing that he designs to destroy us. We killed the Prince of Life. It was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. Now see, we may not have been there crying, "Crucify," but our sinfulness called out as much across the ages. We may not have wielded the whip or the hammer, but my sin brought the hammer down on the nail and through Jesus' hands. And your sin did the same. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It was our sin that killed the Prince of Life. And yet those of us who've been saved, healed by his stripes, we've been forgiven. Our sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. God remembers them no more. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But there's still a world out there mired in its sin. Millions upon millions of souls who are still choosing the murderer and denying the Holy One. They're still denying the Prince of Life. And if we are to truly love them, then we must give credit where credit is due. We must confront them with the truth of their sin. We must proclaim the Word of God that declares all flesh guilty before God and without hope outside of Jesus. Perhaps there are some of you here today that are in that boat. Maybe you think, "I'm not that bad. I don't do anything too wrong. I go to church from time to time." You know, any of the justifications we may make. But see, Peter makes it clear. If you are choosing to do things yourself and to go your own way, then you are denying the Holy One and the just. You're denying Jesus. And if you deny him, then you're guilty of his blood. His blood is on your hands. See, we're all sinners. We're all complicit in the death of our Lord Jesus because He came to pay the price for our sins. And in light of that guilt, we only have two options. We can either surrender to Jesus and be fully washed in His blood and made clean, or we can deny Him and be held to account for His blood on our hands. Our world today wants to justify, mollify, or otherwise equivocate sin. They want to cast blame. Thieves only steal because the rich have oppressed them. Murderers only murder because they were provoked. Well, according to the world's wisdom, I can justify any sin I want to commit based on, society's failure to address mental health, my subconscious conflict with my parents, the pressures of living in an oppressive patriarchal society, or any other number of things, some of which may have some validity and some of which are total hogwash. But no matter where we stand, we cast blame because that way we can't be held accountable. But we are accountable for denying God and for disobeying His commands, no matter how large or small the infraction may be. We are without excuse. The world around us is denying the Holy One and the just. And even though they don't want to hear it, they may shout us down, they may accuse us of hate speech, and frankly, the day may be coming when they may harm us or even kill us for saying so. But yet we must speak the truth in love. We must give credit where credit is due. And we are all guilty and accountable for our own sin. There is no social sin. There is no collective sin. We are all individually sinners before God in need of a personal salvation from a personal Savior. There are some that we may never reach. Peter knew that. But even though Peter gave credit where credit was due, for good and for bad, he also gave the benefit of the doubt. If you look at verse 17, "Now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." See, Peter says, I know you didn't know what you were doing, and neither did your rulers. And Jesus knew it too. That's why he prayed from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." See, Peter says, you didn't know what you were doing, but God used your ignorance to bring to pass all the things that he planned. It had to be this way. But now, says Peter, you know better. So repent and be converted. We must encourage the world to do the same. See, those who live in darkness and sin often do so in ignorance. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, they're all denying the truth out of ignorance, but still we must speak the truth and call them to repentance. See, if you're here today and you're saved, it's not because of anything you did. It was not a decision or a profession that you made. You're saved because Jesus opened your blinded eyes and allowed you to see the truth. He gave you the opportunity to respond, and He accepted you based on your repentance and your trust in Him. It was all Jesus. But if you're here and you're not yet saved, I'm doing my best as the Lord helps to present truth. Can you see it? Is the Lord lifting the blindness the enemy has held on you? See, you've been mired in sin, and I know you were doing so out of ignorance, but if the Lord is showing you the truth, if He's convicting you of your sin and your need of Him, then repent and be converted so that your sins may be blotted out. Don't wait till you get home. Don't wait for a more convenient time. Don't even wait for an altar call. Because if the Lord is calling you, then that is your altar call. Seek Him now. Today is the day of salvation. Because our time is limited. The time is coming when there will be no more opportunity to be saved. When the time for repentance and finding mercy will be over. That's why Peter goes on from there. And in verses 19 through 23, he encourages those listening to repent and be converted now, so that their sins are blotted out when the times of refreshing come. And the times of refreshing that he talks about, that's when God will send Jesus back to earth. Peter says that the heavens have received Jesus now for a time until the time of restitution of all things. But there's a day coming. And Jesus said, only the Father in heaven knows the day and the hour. But there is a day coming when he will send Jesus back to claim that which is his. Jesus is coming back. And Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, likens this to that which was foretold by Moses. Moses said that a prophet would rise up from among the brethren. And Moses said, him shall ye hear. Now remember what God said on the Mount of Transfiguration? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Moses said, him shall ye hear in all things. But then Moses also said, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Folks, Jesus is that prophet. But he's so much more. The author of Hebrews tells us that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus, the Son of God, raised up from among Israel in order to be the prophet Moses foretold. He speaks today, and we must listen and heed his voice. We who are saved have heard his voice. We were lost sheep, but he found us and brought us home. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. But what about you? Are you lost today? Has the Lord opened your eyes to his truth? Are you listening for the shepherd's voice? Hear him. Know him. Follow him, because the day is coming when every soul who is not heard, who has not heeded the voice of that great prophet Jesus, will be destroyed from among the people. And Jesus tells us about that destruction. It's a place of eternal fire. It's hell. And it's a real place. I don't care what the culture around us tries to say. Hell is real. And heaven is too. But Jesus doesn't desire for anyone to go to hell. He wants to save you today. He came that you may have life. And that more abundantly. If in your ignorance perhaps you've denied him, but deny him no more. Come to him. Call on his name to save you. Surrender to him and let his blood that is on your hands cover and wash your heart. See, the shepherd is seeking lost sheep. Will you let him find you today? So churches, as I prepare to close, we need to be like Peter and like the early church. We need to give credit where credit is due. If you're saved today, thank Jesus. If he uses you or uses any of us today, then when the world looks on in wonder, let's say, why are you looking at us as though we had anything to do with it? It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. But friends, if you're lost today, if you've not yet heeded the voice of Jesus, then I also must give credit where credit is due. Anything praiseworthy is thanks to Jesus, but you are denying the Holy One. And your sin, like mine, has contributed to his death. You are complicit in killing the Prince of Life. But you can be forgiven today. I realize you've denied him out of ignorance. You've gone your own way, not knowing what you were doing. But today you've heard truth. So repent and be converted so that your sins may be blotted out before the time of refreshing comes and it's too late to hear His voice. Will you seek the Lord today? Or if you're saved today, are you led to just come forward and give glory and praise to Jesus? As we stand together to sing, will you follow the Lord as He leads today, however He may lead you to respond, if at all, to this word? But let's stand together and let's pray before we sing. Father God, I thank You today for this word. I thank You, Lord, that You still speak, that Your sheep can hear Your voice. Lord, I'm thankful that I hear Your voice and You know me. Father, give me strength to follow. And I pray for all these others that are out here, Lord, that know Your voice and You know them, that You would give us all strength to follow wherever You may lead us. And Father, if there are any lost sheep wandering that are under the sound of my voice today, Father, Lord Jesus, I pray that You would call out to them, that You would seek them, and that You would draw them to seek You, that they may be saved. Father, be glorified. Help us all to be more like Jesus, that You may receive all the honor and the glory. Lord, help us to give credit where credit is due. Amen.